Hello and welcome at episode 431 in the Decide for Impact podcast. Today you are listening to the conversation with Barbara Holzner. Barbara is CEO of iKondo GmbH and supports companies, municipalities, and organizations with complex challenges such as sustainability and digitalization. As a consultant, she moderates participation and strategy processes and supports her clients with innovative methods for impact-oriented project development and management. As a trainer and facilitator, she trains skills for dealing with complexity and shaping sustainable transformation. Together with her team, she develops tools such as the system thinking software Simcision and the SDG simulation game Sustain 2030. Barbara studied digital media at Ulm University of Applied Sciences. During her studies, she gained practical experience in the design and project management of complex applications. In her part-time master's degree in education media at the University of Duisburg-Essen, she's working on the didactic design of digital learning applications. In addition to the development of simulation games and the design of participation formats, her focus is on the moderation of strategy and decision-making processes. Since the beginning of 2016, she has enriched iKondo with her enthusiasm for co-creative solutions. It was a wonderful conversation. I was very enthusiastic. Let's get started.
Welkom bij Decide for Impact, de podcast waarin je leert van ondernemers en experts die een positieve, duurzame bijdrage leveren aan mens en omgeving. Met persoonlijke verhalen die je helpen om impactbesluiten te nemen voor jullie bedrijf. Dan nu, jouw business coach, Engel Halling.
Hello and welcome to this podcast episode. Today I'm talking to Barbara Holzner. Immer always difficult when I'm just talking to you in German and then I have to talk to you in English. But welcome to the podcast, Barbara.
Thank you.
I invited you, I think the trigger was that you were talking about how you were using the IDGs within your company, what you were doing on a regular basis with your team. And we have a mutual friend, Andrea Klepsch. I'm really interested. So what are you exactly doing with your team, with the IDGs? And then we can talk about the company. We will go into detail, of course. Yes.
I try to explain and switch to English too. Because we are working with the IDGs as a team for a long time, we're thinking about, okay, but how can we integrate working with the IDGs in our team and really get in touch with them on a deeper way? And this is why we started kind of an IDG round table, I could say. So every week we have half an hour and we spend this hour on working on one skill of the IDGs. So we started this, I think, over a year ago already. And in the beginning, we just took one skill and we saw the explanation of this the skill and then discuss it. It was just a discussion with everybody of the team. Okay, what are the meaning of all the different words which are used in this explanation? And what is this all about? And what does it mean for us? Maybe what does it mean for companies, for organization? And just have a talk, half an hour. And we did this in 23 weeks. So we have every skill discussed once. And then we started over again and thought about, okay, let's do it one more time. But now not just talking about what is it about maybe, but find concrete questions we want to answer. For example, okay, how to implement this skill in an organization, what to do, what are examples to do, and have the same format every week, half an hour, and discuss this. And then we did it again with all the 23 skills, And after this, we was like, okay, now we spent so much time for talking about, now we want to have a little bit more acting. And we started a new round doing this, and with a little preparation in before the session, because when we started, it was like we were designing a little IDG card set. So we have a skill on every card. And in the beginning, we just took one card randomly and discussed about this card and then sort it out. So in the next week, we don't have the same skill. And in the third round, we started thinking about, okay, now we need a little bit more action. And action needs maybe a little bit of preparation. So what we do now is to select a card randomly, one of us. And this person has the task to prepare our IDG round table in the next week. And we don't spend much time on this. So it's important for us. So it's just 50 to 30 minutes, not more, to prepare. And what we do is to prepare small exercises on the skill. For example, we think about a new little game that we try out, or we heard about a method somewhere, and we just put take this method and try it out together. Or sometimes it's like we have an image collection and talking about it. And very often we don't know on which skill we are working when we start the session. So only the person who prepares the session knows what it's about. And it's very interesting because I think one of the most sentences we hear in the beginning is, okay, you all will so quickly know what today is about. And after the session or during the session, then there's the question, so what skill is it about? And then you can often see it's not this obvious because they are so interrelated that many skills could be the topic of a game or an exercise. And sometimes maybe it's more obvious than another time, but we use this to then also discuss the connections between the IDGs and why do we think maybe this skill was the exercise about, and how does this skill have an impact on the other skills, which was the topic. So we use this as a part of the game to not knowing what skill we are working on, and just use the 30 minutes to let us fall into an exercise and interact together, try something out. Often it's very emotional very quickly because we grow together as a team with every week, and it's easier every week to just let everything go, be in presence the whole time, and just get in trust with each other, and have no fear to say what we are thinking, to show emotions or anything. And it's doing so much with us as a team, because it's all started with just talking about skills, and now it's really a real deep diving in our values and what is important for us and what we are feeling, and sharing our perspective on the world. And this is very intense and emotional for us, but we don't want to miss this anymore. And we still do it every week. And it's just half an hour, so it's no problem to do it, because it's just after lunch, having lunch together, just 30 minutes, and it's so much for us as a team.
How large is the team?
We're just, it depends. It's 5 to 7 people only. We are 5 fixed people, and we have internships and some changes, so it's between 5 and 7, sometimes 8 persons.
Okay, and so what is a change that you've noticed over that time between the relationship, the interaction, the any advantages that you saw to related to your work? Did it have advantages as a business to do this, for example?
Yeah, working together on another level, I would say, because it's like we feel interconnected to each other on a deep level, on an emotional level, and have a very high level of trust to each other. And we know when we're working together in projects and in workshops or wherever that we can just rely on the others. We know even better what are the other person's thinking, what is the perspective of the other person. And we realized this. So it's not like it changed everything for us because we're just a small group of people and we already working on sustainability and SDGs and everything before. So there were kind of a common ground already, but it changed our understanding for each other and it changed our understanding of the IDGs because we have so many ideas in discussions and when trying some exercises that we sometimes found something in the IDGs when we are like, wow, I've never thought about this aspect before. And we have no idea if this was the meaning of this skill or this explanation. But for us, suddenly it's a whole new dimension that's opening. And we have a new idea for a workshop or a training suddenly. So we can have something completely new because of this. And this is really interesting. So it's for our inner growth, but also for our outer growth as a company, because we're using it in our projects and so on. So it's, again, it's inner and outer.
Okay, so we just had the conversation with the Global Practitioners Network, but also there is now a program for leadership in relationship with the IDGs. And we were talking this week about this topic with people. And one of the biggest questions that these people found in their organization was the question of how do I do this? Because the people who were in the program are very enthusiastic about the inner development goals, but they have to also convince other people in the organization to come along, right? So they go like, so how do I do this? They want to know, yes, how do I do this, right? So, and I just heard a very easy way of how to do this, of how to start working with the inner development of your people, of yourself, in your organization, looking at the 23 skills, making a difference, getting to know each other very closely, but also very deeply. And by experiencing that in your own company, it's going to make it easier for you to also use it in your project with your clients. Was that a good translation?
Yes, perfect translation.
Okay, so the thing is, I have so many questions in my head now, so I'm going to think, so where is my thread going first? You work, you can see if you're watching the video, you can see in the background, iKONDU, that's your company, right?
Yes.
Okay, let's go there first, because a topic to my heart is decision making. Mm-hmm. And this is what your company is all about. This is what you do. So explain, Take us a little bit on the journey. What do you do with clients on decision making? How do your projects work?
Okay. Oh, that's not easy to add. Maybe I start with our mission as a company or even our vision, because it's all about complexity. We were founded in over 10 years ago, and our slogan was complexity as a chance. So using complexity and don't have fear of complexity. And we're dealing with this a long time now and have done a lot of projects for ourselves, but also with our clients, asking for, okay, what is complexity about? What does complexity mean? And what does complexity do to us? And this is where we come from. And when I'm talking about decision making, it's one of the complex processes you can think about, because when people come together and have to do something together, then it's complex automatically because you have the human factor in this. And I think many decisions are not done on the point of view of one person because there are always different persons involved. And what we do is using methods of system thinking, methods and tools also, to provide a better decision-making ground in bringing together perspectives and integrate them in one system. So what we do is working on system knowledge with the people who want to have a decision, visualize it, also use something like simulation, for example, to show when you do this, something else will happen, or when you do this, something else will happen. And it's a lot about talking about interrelationships between different goals, for example, in talking about the goals, not just about the solutions. I think this is one big thing that we do with our clients, because when you have a new project, and with us, it's a lot about project development as a topic. And when you have a new project, everyone is thinking about the tasks that have to be done and all the solutions that should be created. But we forget to discuss about the goals we want to achieve and the impact we want to have with these solutions. And often, even in decisions, it's something like everybody in the room is thinking, yeah, it's completely clear what the goal is and what the impact should be. But nobody's talking about it. And if you're not talking about it, you are not realizing that it's not that clear that you think that it is. And this is what we do. We bring people together in workshops, in different constellations, have stakeholder processes, and have a participation process on let's talk about the goals we want to achieve. And then let's talk about how these goals are interrelated to each other. And then we have a common, kind of a common ground, a common understanding of what is the system and how does the system behind all these things works. And this is the basis for the decision. So we use system thinking, simulation, and all this stuff to support decisions, because the decision is made then from the persons. It's dangerous if not. So it's just a support setting. But this is what our work is about, to talk about goals, talk about interrelationships.
First, let me ask to clarify. So what's the type of clients you work for in general?
It depends. It's quite wide spectrum of clients. So we have company clients, of course. It's more smaller companies, so let's say middle class companies, SMEs, so you can say small and middle companies. But also we work a lot with municipalities and administrations of cities, for example, but also with organizations like universities on the administration side. So, and it's a lot about big projects that are not headed in one company or in one organization, but it's about many different stakeholders coming together. And this is often research projects, but also big transformation projects that are set up in a city with companies, organizations all coming together and want to do something together. This is, I think, the focus we have. So not just in one company or in one organization, but always when you have very different stakeholders and different perspectives.
I have like two sides on this right now, because on one side, when I talk with clients, I talk to individuals, right? They are entrepreneurs, like members of the management team of small companies. I also work with small and medium-sized companies. So I have like what I call a decision book with a template of the questions you can ask yourself to make a better decision, right? So what I try to do with them is to improve the decision process. I can't help them to make a better decision because, you know, that's something that's going on in themselves. And also it's influenced after decisions made with all the other stuff that you cannot, that you don't control. But we can improve the process so that you take time, you think about things, you ask other people about, you know, what are the consequences of what is the field that we play, right? But I don't talk about what you say, not a lot. So maybe that's something I could add about the systems that you're in, right? So the system that what this is all part of. And of course, I'm talking to an individual. So I'm not doing this with a team. So that's also very interesting. Then the other side I was thinking about is if we look now, because I'm working on something that I borrowed from a friend, which is called Flourishing Future Conversations. Although she uses it differently than I am, I want to go to Municipal, the town that I live in, and try to set up like a conversation with citizens, right? So to have a conversation with all kinds of people and talk about topics that are very polarized today. So topics that are very difficult to talk about with each other. You can think about climate, you can think about food, you can think about wealth or, you know, poorness, care. There's a lot of topics are very, have wicked problems, have very difficult problems, and people don't know enough about it, right? So we miss often a lot of different perspectives on the topic, knowledge on the topics, and we just go with what we see in the media. Oh yeah, this is how it's going. So we don't have to think about it a lot, and then we go with the flow. So for me, when I was preparing for this conversation, I was going, this is exactly what I want to talk about now, because this is what I'm really interested about now. So one of the most important things I think we can do today is the work that you do, right? To bring people together in a conversation to talk about difficult topics, about difficult decisions. And then also the way that you do it, I'm just trying to give you build you a podium right now. So the way that you do with the inner development goals, how you experience and experiment together with how you do this is exactly what we need in society today, right? So this is a really difficult topic. Then to bring this together, a question that I have, so this was a long layup for the question, is, so we have artificial intelligence today, right? So we have the development of machinery, computers making decisions for us based on data, right? So we see that, at least I think that a lot of jobs that today require a lot of decisions from managers, futurists, people at the top, that these decisions also could be made in the future by technology, by, AI. And it would be better because they will see all the systems. So that is my question. What do you think about the effect of artificial intelligence on these difficult topics and decision-making?
Oh, big question.
I know. I love talking about this now.
I wouldn't say that AI can make the decision better. Not at all. Because one thing in this is that when you make decision based on data only, you're looking in the past. And in a complex system, I think it's really dangerous to just have the look in the past and have database decisions, because it could be completely different in the future when you look on the other side, because the data is just the look back, and we also need something else. And of course, nobody can have a look in the future and know what will happen. This is not possible. But I think it's dangerous that sometimes people understand AI as something that can be a solution for this problem that build up like a glass bubble to look in the future and have the perfect answer for everything. And I think what is not there in AI is a lot of experience and interrelationship that we can experience, but that are not in the data, because you can't have data for everything. There are things that you can transport with data. And I think the IDGs are the best example, because there are so many topics in the IDGs that you can't put in data. And when you look in data, then have AI solutions of today, then you can also see that these solutions have all the mistakes and thinking that we have over years. Like, let's talk about feminism, let's talk about racism, and all these topics that are all in our data because we produce the data with our old thinking. And when we want a real change and a real transformation and not just an optimization, but a transformation, then we need something new. And then I think it's not possible to have an AI that really can give us that decision. Of course, it can be one support factor, but it should be just one support factor. And that brings me to the second point. I think that is important about the AI topic, because the second thing is very often AI is a black box. We don't know what's really happening in this black box. And what we want to do and what we're talking about is open up this black box and understanding what is going on there. What are the algorithms and the relationships in this black box? What's happening? Which data is interpreted in which way? And this leads to the decision, but we need to take care that we can still understand where the decision comes from and what's happening there. It needs to be understandable for us, because otherwise we can't deal with these decisions of the AI, because we can't anymore say, is it a good decision? Nobody knows, because it's just in the black box. And what we want to do with system thinking is to give us a chance to understand what's happening, because we're not in the detail level. We're not talking about all the details and all the data you can have. And I think AI can be very helpful here, because it helps you to deal with this huge amount of information you have. But what we want to do is to find an abstraction level on what's going on. So to find the big relationships between topics, not in the detail, because the detail we can have this with the data and the AI, and they can tell us when it's going deep, but they can't tell us what are our values, what is important to us, what is the impact we want to make. And this is something we need to design. And then we need to design, how does this interrelate with solutions and with possibilities we have? And only if we have this part, then I think AI can be very helpful for us. But if we are losing this part, then I think we're losing a lot of our values and our emotions and of humanity, maybe, too.
Oh. Interesting. By the way, I wasn't saying that I believe that AI will take over decision making. I wasn't saying that, but I think there's a chance if we let technology, you know, and have these big data companies do what
and
they
I
want.
And I think it's happening in some spaces, and we need to prepare for this, because it will happen, or it's already there.
I wrote this funny quote on Blue Sky, which is something similar to Twitter, and she was saying, so I don't think AI is the right thing right now, because if AI was the right thing, it would take over my washing of the dishes or doing the laundry, and this would give me time to create art and be creative, right? And right now, what it's doing, it's taking my creative part away by creating art. and I'm still doing the dishes and the laundry. So I think that's, so I thought it was an interesting thought process that she had there.
Yeah.
And I think she's pretty right. She's very right, because the way that I look at we for years in today's society and economy, we are still always trying to optimize the output, right? So we're trying to create more with less time, with less input, with less manpower. Mm-hmm. So when I'm not sure who that was, but when they said in the past, by 2000, we should have like only work for 20 hours a week, because the rest we've already automated and made simpler, and we are just working more and spending more time in the car driving towards our work instead of having more leisure time. And now also the AI is taking away a part of that leisure as well, right? It's taking away the crafts part, right? So I think that's an interesting observation that she did there.
It's really interesting. I'm so often thinking about it, because we have so often the sentence in our team that, well, everybody's talking about AI, but there's no solution for this daily problem you have. And why isn't this working first before we think about AI creating all the big things?
Well, I that's one thing. And also, I think the second thing is, there was like, when we talk about values, right? You just mentioned how, development goals, this process in your company, is giving you a deep insight into the values of all people. When I think about this, I think, so what if there are still like 800 million people who live below the life standard of what UN think is the lowest standard that we should give, right? That we should live, which is $1.50 a day, which is ridiculous anyway, because it should be like $7 something, which is the lowest standard. So if we have this issue, why aren't we concentrating on something else, which is really not that important? I understand that AI can help us, for example, in like medicine to detect cancer earlier, or breast cancer, or stuff like, I understand that is a really difficult and interesting topic to look into. But the other stuff, I think it's just, anyway, let's not go there. What I liked also about what I saw when I was investigating you, and we just talked about it also before we hit record, was about a tool that you have, a product that you have, which is called Sustain 2030. You also give like free online introduction sessions about it, so people can, when they go to the website, they can subscribe. So I'm just giving you some promotion there. tell me about Sustain 2030, because I think it's really interesting and how this works.
So Sustain 2030 is, first of all, it's a simulation game about the SDGs, the Sustainable Development Goals. This is the starting point, I would say. And what we do is, again, talking about complexity, because when we deal with the SDGs, we have the same problem as everywhere. When we do one by one, it won't have a complete solution for everything. So in our simulation game, what we do is to see the interrelationships between the SDGs. We do this based on the German sustainability strategy, because again, there we have every goal in the focus of the national of perspective of Germany, but it's every goal for itself. It's not like they are interrelated. And we build a system model on these SDGs. And so we have a simulation running that when you do something to achieve one SDG, this will have impact on other SDGs in our game. And it's not only about the actions that will have actions on other SDGs, but it's also about events happening randomly, but also maybe because of some SDGs are not thought about or some things are ignored in the system.
What kind of event are you talking about?
For example, the COVID pandemic is one event in our simulation game, but there are also events like the climate crisis that we don't fulfill our goals we set there. And then we have maybe extreme weather incidents or something, something like that. Things that can happen that go the wrong way when talking about sustainability. And then we have a group of people coming together, and this group of people need now to work together to achieve all the SDGs, let's say all the goals that are described in the German sustainability strategy. And they come together and they jump in different roles. So we have very different stakeholder roles. We have maybe a social worker, then we have a nurse, then we have HR manager, then we have kind of a mayor or something. So very different perspectives. And they come together and they form a citizen council for sustainability. So it's in their hand to do the right decisions to solve the SDGs. Of course, they have.
How do you pick those citizens? Is it like a group council, or do you select randomly citizens?
It depends. It's not just citizens. When we have a group of a team in a company, for example, they can play together and become this citizen council. Or sometimes we do it with citizens as well, or we have students, or it's many different groups, and we do it ourselves, and also we have teachers doing it, and so on. But you come together as a group. Maybe you know each other, maybe you don't know each other. And this is very different in the game, because what you need to do is to have a discussion with each other to come to a common solution. What do we want to do? And you have a limited budget, and you have to decide, what action do we want to take? And we have prepared actions. There are over 50 different actions, so a lot of possibilities you can do to achieve the SDGs. And you come together in different roles. So every stakeholder role in the game have his own focus, his own perspective, his own interest. So of course, for a social worker, other topics are important than for, let's say, mayor or politician or someone from the company or something. They will have different SDGs in the first side. And what they need to do is to bring all the actions they have. We have this on action cards. So every player gets cards to have something in the hands and discuss with this. And they need to propose to each other what they want to do and why, and need to discuss it. And then once they do a decision, and every game round is half a year, so they simulate a few years working together. And every half a year, they need to come to a decision. Where do we want to spend our budget? And then you can simulate this in a tool, in SimCision, in the simulation tool. And you can see, okay, now we take action. And maybe we have three SDGs that we address with these actions. And then you can see, how will this reach out to other SDGs? Or maybe there will be some incidents because we forget about something. So we have events popping up and confronting us with something what is now happening. So maybe there's a demonstration or something because we forget about some people and so on. And this is the whole game about, you can say. And it's a lot about the discussion with each other. And it's a team process you're going through, because you can do it in the end, but you can also do it during the game to have reflections on how are we working together right now. And it's getting even more interesting when you're playing it with several groups. So our group is about, let's say, about 10 people, because when you want to have a real discussion with each other, then 8 to 12 people maybe are a good group. Everybody can go into the discussion, and it's possible in a time that's not about weeks, but just one day or a few hours. And when you have several groups and every group is playing the game on the same time, and then the groups come back together, and everybody will have a completely different experience. And it's so interesting watching the people realizing, oh, we just did it one way. But there are so many different other ways we could have done it. And maybe, first of all, they were very happy with their results. And then they see the other results and think about, oh, maybe we weren't this good. Or it's the other way around also. You're like, oh, it was so exhausting and all the discussions and not going forward and not reaching anything. And then seeing the other groups and are like, oh, but maybe we did more than the others. How did we do this? And then we have the groups talk about this. When we have just one group, of course, you can do this too. You can talk about other groups or you can go into some situations in the game. But if you have several groups, it's even more interesting because the group can talk to each other, talking about, okay, but how did you do your decision? Was it like a democratic election with their reaction, or was it a consent method, or how do you come to a decision? And there are some groups that are like, so, oh, it was so exhausting and we need really to fight about the actions because there were so many perspectives and it didn't work out. And then there are other groups like, well, we have the perspectives too, but we have common goals. So we were just focusing on the goals, not on our stakeholder roles. And it's so different. And it's so interesting. We use it even for coaching because you can have a team working together and it's like they're working together in reality. You can show them all the process they are running through in reality and all the maybe little mistakes that are not seen in real projects. Like, yeah, you discuss a lot, but afterwards, there's one person maybe doing the decision and all the others are like, okay, if he's saying this, then this is going fine. So you have teams like this too, or you have teams like, well, the stakeholder roles doesn't matter at all. We don't play in our roles. So why are there these roles in the games? We don't need them. We have goals. So we are just working on the goals. And then you can ask, okay, but if you're in reality and you are focusing on a topic that is important for you, or you're also measured on a topic, maybe in a company, because you need to solve this, are you going then in a council and you are saying, well, we can do all the other actions first because they are more important now. And maybe in 3 years we can do my action. Are you doing this in reality? Well, I don't think so. And it's really interesting to talk with the group what was just happening in the game and what they were relying on. It's about investing budget. It's about, are we working together or are we fighting each other and so on. And so what we say is it's a game about the SDGs and you work with the SDGs in the game and you get to know about the topics of the SDGs. But for us, it's also a game about the IDGs because what you really talk about afterwards is a lot about how does we work together and how does we communicate with each other and what was our humility, for example, to just name one of the skills?
I think it sounds like an amazing, I have, just to be transparent, I have not played the game. I have not did a trial. I have not been into one of your games, but to me, it sounds like a really, really interesting game and a perfect game to do on so many levels in so many places. It's, oh my God, I can see so many opportunities already in my head to take one step back, right? So you started doing digital media in
yes.
school, right? You
yes.
Had a Bachelor of Arts in digital media. How is that related for you to sustainable development goals, for example?
Not at all in first sight. It was like I plan to have some design career, maybe go to a design agency working there. And then I stopped at Icondo because it's a company my father founded. And I was like, okay, I can do some design for you. I already did it during my study time to build up the website or something. And okay, I will have a short time in your company to do all the websites, source the print media and everything you need for design. And then I'm leaving and go in some design agency because I want to do design. I want to build up websites or something. I love designing, working with typography on and everything. I was totally into design. And then I stopped at Icondo. And then in the beginning, I couldn't even say what is the work of Icondo about. What are they doing? It's consultancy. Well, maybe they consult anybody. I don't know what they really do with their whole time. So it was a huge learning process for me to get to know, okay, what is consultancy about and what is strategy process about and what is process development about and what are all these topics that you can deal with to design companies and design transformation. And I started working on projects about complexity and how needs a company culture to be to deal with complexity. So it was kind of a deep dive into complexity. And then one day, one of my colleagues came up with the idea to say, well, Michael, my father's name, Michael, I have a calculation how many hours in my life I'm still going to work. And I don't know the number anymore. It was a huge number. And Jancy says, she said, well, I want to do something sense-making with this amount of time. And so I was thinking about maybe we should work on the topic of sustainability. I have no idea how to do this and what we can do for this topic, but I would love to find out if there's a point that we can do something for sustainability. And then you need to know that my father is a person who loves this kind of ideas and this kind of spirit and love innovation, and he loves trying out new things, new ideas. So as a team, we have a totally deep dive into sustainability. It was not like we stopped everything else. So of course, we have our consultancy going on strategy process. We have an automotive focus back then. And but we build up the team. We have new team members working on sustainability, finding out, okay, what can we do in sustainability? And I think this was one of the moments where for me, it was clear, I won't leave. I want to do this too. And I want to work with people designing an environment to work on this important topic. And like, I was just catched. And I have no background before on sustainability, but I had the chance here to create this background and learn about all these topics. And it was really quick that we realized, well, we're talking about complexity all the time here. You can just put sustainability everywhere where we write complexity, because sustainability is one of the complex things you can think about. And this is how we came to sustainability. And I think I wouldn't have come there alone. And I think this is a very important thing, not just for me, but for sustainability as a whole. I think if I wouldn't have this team around me working on the topics and my colleagues saying, hey, let's do something for sustainability. Let's just find out if it's interesting for us. Then I would have never go this deep in this topic. So of course there was an interest of mine in this topic before. And I think, yeah, it's an interesting topic. Let's find out. But I wouldn't have done what I do today without the team and all the different perspectives in the team. So I'm a designer. My colleague was an innovation manager, and my father is an engineer. So it's completely different thinkings and different perspectives. And I think without this, I would never be so into sustainability like I am today. And I think this is a really important learning when working on sustainability, because we need to do this both as together, and you can't do it on your own.
I think the thought process that your colleague had is really interesting. Like thinking of your life as how many hours do I have left to work? Even at my age, when I'm 55, you can think about how many hours you still have or days left to work. And then I'm not thinking until my retirement, I'm thinking about the rest of my life, right? So what is then the impact? What's not the impact? What is it you can do that will create the impact that you like, that you want to contribute to? So I want to be careful to not say like create the most impact, because I think that's also overrated. But I think, what can you do? What kind of work do you want to do? What kind of clients you want to work with? What kind of problems do you want to solve? What kind of difficult problems do you want to solve? So that you feel that you are making the best out of your life in a way that, you know, that's good, not just for you, but also for future generations, right? So, and past generations. So I think that was just a beautiful thing. And of course, also a great environment that you can post this idea, right? That you have the safety within your company, that somebody can come up with this and say, okay, I have something always, and I want to make it important. I want to make a difference, right? So I like that part. Simcision. Before we were talking about, and you mentioned Simcision as a tool that you use within Sustain 2030, which is a tool that helps you to simulate, to make better decisions, right? To make decisions. Before we talked about AI and helping you in decision-making, and at the same time, you are using software to create simulations for the decision process. Why is it that you think it is important? And by the way, I'm really a fan of where you make all kinds of variations of things that might happen, right? So you play out various futures so that whenever this future, and very unlikely futures for a company, for example, so that whenever this may pop up, you are prepared, because you're playing games around possible futures. And I think that's exactly, I'm not sure, but I think that's exactly what you're doing with Simcision, is you're playing
it's
simulations.
Hard, yes.
Yeah. And then because you're playing it, because if you are not aware and not familiar with the issue, with the possibility that this could happen, you most likely won't see it coming, and then you're too late. So what is Simcision, and how do you use that in your process with your clients?
Well, maybe I start with the idea you were just talking about, because I think it's all about learning. And we use Simcision also for learning something, learning about systems. And when dealing with complex systems, of course, you can do it in the first spot without a software. But there will be a limit, because you can't go through all the possibilities. You can't have all the things in mind that are important, and you can't do it on your own. But if you're coming together on a group of, let's say, maybe just 5 people, but maybe it's 20 people, then it's nearly impossible to have all the aspects on the table, all the perspectives and all the interrelationships and everything, and then going through possibilities in the future. So I think this is where a tool and a software comes in the room and have a value for the process. And what we do in Simcision is using methods like system thinking to model a system. And I think on this point, it's I really like the quote. I'm not sure. I think it's von Box, but I'm not sure about this. It's every model is wrong, but some are useful. And I think this describes very good what we are doing with Simcision, because we want to have useful models to get a better understanding of a system and see how does the system react on different things. Then we are in the simulation, then we are in the scenario building and going through different scenarios and find out when maybe this could happen or this could happen. How will the system react on this? And what we do in Simcision, well, with our newest update, we will have a part of system dynamics too, because system dynamics is working with systems on a very quantitative way. And I think it could be really helpful to understand huge system based on data and find out how does a system like an energy system or the whole world is working. But what we do is often working more qualitative. So we are not based on data, what we build up in Simcision for models, but we're using the experience of people in a room to build up a model. Because we're not modeling like physical systems, but what we are modeling are goal systems, value systems, a goal system of a project, a strategy, for example, and talk about what are the goal of a new project or what are the goals of a new strategy. And we put them in our system, in the software Simcision. And then we talk in the group, we talk about what are the interrelationships between these goals. When I achieve this goal, will this have an impact on another goal? And then we model this impact and this relationship in our system. And I think on the first look, it looks kind of a system map, kind of a mind map that is not just from one point going out, but everything is interrelated. But then we do one more step. We describe this impact and we say how strong it is. And because it's all very qualitative and not just based on data, because it's about topics, you can't just have data to tell you how is the relation between this. And we're not talking about correlations between topics, but about real impact relations. So what we then do is, for example, ask, is it a weak impact or is it a strong impact? And starting with this. So the strength we use for our relations is just relative to each other, for example, in the beginning. And then we talk about, is the impact linear? Is it always the same? So for example, I have an example before in our meeting today. It was about the impact of co-creation on building up networks, I think, or something like this. And there is an impact. Of course, there is a huge impact on co-creation skills on building up networks. But when you have no co-creation skills at all, and you build them up, for example, for 50-60%, when you think about 100% maybe will be the perfect co-creation skills you can think about, then in this model we talked about, there was the idea that the first 60% building up co-creation skills will have a bigger impact on building up networks than the other 40%, because at some point you're already so good in co-creation skills that it's not the co-creation skills you need to build up networks, but you need maybe something else. And we describe this this impact and how it's working over time and depending on where we are in achieving different goals. And this is how we build up goal models. And then we go in the simulation and asking, okay, one thing is what we can do, and the other thing is what will happen without us doing anything. So we have risks, or talking in Sustain 2030, it was the events, the incidents that are happening. And in our goal systems, it's like risks we're looking at. And then we can have, okay, what is the chance that this is happening? And you can have a setup of all of this. And then you think about actions. What do you do? And then you go into the simulation. And what is different in our simulation software SimCision than maybe in some other tools, often from System Dynamics, is that we can go through the simulation step by step. So you can interact with the simulation in every time step. It's not like, so now we have a system and now let's run the system, a simulation for 30 years. And we need to think about every action before. We think about the whole strategy, what we want to do, and then we run the simulation. What we do is more experimental with the system. We want to, again, it's about playing, it's about experiment. You can be, we're always about interacting and experiments and everything. And this is, I think, the special thing about SimCision, that we then interact time step per time step and have a look, okay, we have a strategy, maybe this is planned and we do it, and then suddenly something has happened we haven't foreseen. So we're like, oh, it's happening in this moment. So maybe we should react now or we react later, but it will be a different simulation or a different strategy when the event is not happening or the risk is not there. And what we do is learning about what's happening with the system. But also you have the factor of our own behavior in this, because when there is a risk, you will interact with the simulation. And in reality, when something bad has happened, you will react on this. It's nearly impossible to do nothing. And then you have the step-by-step simulation in SimCision to run through this, but you can do a lot of simulations and you can compare this in different analyzing tools and see, okay, was it a good simulation or maybe it doesn't run this good, and you can compare what was happening and have different diagrams to see the result. But I think it's a tool you can use for many different aspects. And I'm just I have a little focus on what we are using the tool for, because it with a consultancy and a tool developer, and we are trying to have a tool that can do a lot of things. But using the tool in our projects is, of course, just a small amount of all the functionality we have in the tool. And for us, a focus is very often on building up the model, because when modeling, you're learning about the system, and then just use simulation for experimentation, again, for learning. Learning through simulation, I think, is one of our biggest missions with SimCision. And what we want to do is to bring things like system thinking and thinking in interrelationships into practice, because system dynamics is a huge thing in science and system thinking is a huge thing in research and science. But when looking in companies, it's not like it's a method used every day. And we want to make this easier to have this perspectives and interrelations and complexity dealing in daily business.
You described the importance of how you use the tool and the simulation within companies and the decision making and all these difficult situations, the relationships, the systems. And specifically, you talked about the Sustain 2030, the specific tool, using it for the SDGs and having these conversations. And you talk about doing simulations, but also specifically you talk about having these conversations and playing these games. So how important is playing for you? How do you believe that is important?
I think playing is one of the absolutely key methods for training our inner development, for training us for achieving the sustainable transformation, because simulation is just playing and gaming too. Every game is a simulation. And I think it's so important because we're active in playing. We're really acting already, and it's not just like we're thinking and discussing, and we're really trying things out, and we're fully into. And I've heard a few days ago also I have a discussion on when do we learn, and it's not about that we can remember what we hear or what we see, but we will always remember what we feel in situations. And I think this is what playing is about, to feel and to be fully present and fully in experience. And this is how we can train and how we can learn and how we go on.
I'm thinking about, I do have like a practice every Thursday night. I'm a referee in soccer, so and we do practice every Thursday night, not the refereeing, but just staying fit. And the warm-up sessions, you can do two ways, right? You can just do like exercising various, concentrating on various muscles in your legs, and you could do play, right? You can do a warm-up integrating play, and it's always more fun and energizing when you do a warm-up with play instead of just doing your regular going back and forth. So yes, I can see how you are talking about the importance of play in life, in business, in working with the IDGs, in working with the SDGs, in government, all these parts where you know, most of the work that we do is already very serious, right? It's very focused on the data, on facts, on are we doing the right thing, and do we need to control more? Do we need to write down more? Do we need more data, right? So, and play is just making it fun again. It's just, you know, giving sense to the things that we do. So I thank you for adding that. Barbara. Sometimes I have people in my podcast and I'm so enthusiastic about the topic. It feels like I'm promoting what you do. I feel like I'm selling your company. I'm not getting paid for this, just to be clear and transparent about this. I just love what you do. I just love the work that you do. I just love the way that you do it too, right? So the way that you set this up. And I think it's just wonderful. I see so many applications and possibilities here. So I'm pretty sure that we're going to talk again. But for now, thank you, Barbara, and for sharing this with us. And you know, just thank you.
Thank you so much.
Dat was het gave gesprek met Barbara. Je vindt de namen en links die we noemden in het artikel dat bij deze uitzending hoort. Ga daarvoor naar decideforimpact.com/show431. Mijn naam is Enno Hanning en ik deel mijn opgedane kennis, ervaringen en expertise met jou. Ik coach ondernemers zodat ze besluiten nemen om hun impact te groeien. Wil je vanzelf automatisch de volgende aflevering van deze podcast op je telefoon ontvangen? Dat kan heel eenvoudig. Heb je een iPhone? Dan zit daar standaard de Apple Podcast app op. Open die app, zoek dan de Decide for Impact podcast en klik op abonneer. Heb je een Android-telefoon? Installeer dan eerst bijvoorbeeld de Player FM-app. Open die app. Zoek daar de Decide for Impact podcast en klik op abonneer. Dankjewel hiervoor. Heb je vragen, opmerkingen, reacties over deze aflevering met Barbara? Of over de podcast in het algemeen? Stuur dan een e-mail naar podcast@decideforimpact.com. Ik hoor supergraag van jou. Wil je leren hoe je focus en energie vindt met jouw innerlijke kompas? Hoe verbinding in je team het verschil maakt? Hoe je vertrouwen krijgt in je collega's en hoe je een moedig mens wordt? Download dan het boek Impact Besluiten, waarmee je nieuwe medewerkers aantrekt op de site voor impact.com. Dit is mijn nieuwste boek en je downloadt het daarom nu helemaal gratis. Je hebt zelfs geen e-mailadres nodig. Vraag jouw boek nu aan op decideforimpact.com. En ik weet, je hebt volle agenda, je leest het in één avond uit. Dankjewel voor het luisteren en graag tot de volgende.
Dankjewel voor het luisteren naar deze aflevering van de Decide for Impact podcast. Ga voor jouw volgende stap naar decideforimpact.com.